Praise the Lord. So good to see everyone here this morning. We just want you to enter into what the Lord has for you today. The Lord has already ministered in such a great way today. Amen.
Amen.
So we're just going to receive all that He has for us today because He has so much for us. And He is so good to us, isn't He?
Amen.
Amen. Well, if this is your first time at Oasis, I am Pastor Sharon, and this is Pastor Rock, and we want to just welcome you here. And if this is your first time, if you just raise your hand so our ushers can give you a card this morning. And let's just give everyone a hand clap of welcome today. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And before I turn it over to Pastor, I'd like to speak a word of blessing over you. Does anyone want a blessing this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So I declare over each and every one of you today that your steps are ordered of the Lord. You are consciously and unconsciously led by the Spirit of God. Led in right paths according to the perfect will of God. Not ahead and not behind, but right on time. I declare that you walk in the divine wisdom of God. You have perfect knowledge and understanding in every situation and every circumstance. I declare you and your household are blessed of the Lord. Your finances are blessed. The spirit of debt is destroyed because of the anointing that breaks the yoke of debt. I call you debt-free in Jesus' name.
Yes. Yes.
I declare your body is strong. Healthy, whole, nothing missing and nothing broken. You walk in divine health. I declare peace over you and soundness of mind. I declare the angels of God surround you and keep you and protect you and your household. You're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. And give Him a hand clap
Amen.
Of thanks this morning.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is awesome. I turn over to Pastor at this time.
Praise the Lord. I want to thank y'all for last week. Y'all honored me on Father's Day like you do
Amen.
Every year. But y'all are, it's not on, I'm sorry. Hello?
Can you hear me now? All right. All right, that's much better. But y'all honored me, as you always do, and you honor Pastor Sharon, and you honor us at Christmas. But, you know, there's a difference in the way you honor. You guys honor. I mean, we know we're appreciated. We feel like we're Pastor Joel and Victoria Osteen. And this is Lakewood Church. I mean, we're like, oh my God. I mean, wow. I mean, y'all, I mean it. I say it all the time, but this is the best group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Since we've pastored, this is the best group of people. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best group of people we have ever had. Since we pastored Oasis Christian Center, there's more joy, there's more unity, there's more harmony. There ain't a bad one in the bunch.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
We thank God for every one of you.
Yes.
We do, from our hearts. And thank you for the way y'all honored us. I mean it. And the breakfast. I forgot to mention the breakfast. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
The guys were talking, and we would like to be having the breakfast once a month. You know, where the ladies fix all that bacon and all, never mind. I know I mentioned it last week and the ladies weren't too happy with me saying that. So I don't understand why, but I guess we'll stick to once a year. But it was fantastic. Everything about it was fantastic. Thank y'all so much. And now we're going to, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And then we're going to tag team today.
Okay?
So lead us in prayer.
Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the service today, Father God, and we thank you for your spirit that we have felt so strongly in this service. And we thank you, Father God, that you move and minister by your spirit and minister to each and every need today, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that when we leave this service today, we'll not be the same, but we will be risen to a higher place, Father God. And Father, we will see who we are in Christ Jesus. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love us with an everlasting love and that your heart is for us and that your will is to bless us and strengthen us and to do good for us. And we thank you for it, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I want you to, I know we do the neighbor looking time. I want you to look at your neighbor this morning. And I want you to say, I prophesy over you.
I prophesy over you.
I speak the word of God over you.
I speak the word of God over you.
I declare. The favor of God is on you.
The favor of God is on you.
In a greater measure.
In a greater measure.
Than ever before.
Than ever before.
I declare. The goodness of God.
The goodness of God.
Overtakes you this week.
I declare.
God's glory. Is on your finances.
It's on your finances.
It's on your family.
It's on your family.
It's on your children.
It's on your children.
It's on your pets.
It's on your pets.
It's on your job.
It's on your job.
I declare. The glory of God.
Is on you.
Stronger.
Than ever before.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ask if you will to get your Bibles to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to be reading in the Passion Translation, verse number 8 and 9. Now this is the goal, to live in harmony with one another and demonstrate affectionate love and sympathy and kindness toward other believers. Let humility describe who you are as you dearly love one another. That's this place. Never retaliate when someone treats you wrongly, nor insult those who insult you, but instead respond by speaking a blessing over them, because a blessing is what God promised to give you. Now, if you look up the word blessing, in the Old Testament it was in Hebrew, and the word for blessing is barak, and that means to speak the intention of God over. In the New Testament, blessing is the word eulogia, from which we get the word eulogy. Eulogy means to speak larger of, or to speak well of, or to speak the intention or favor of God on someone. A eulogy, most of us are familiar with eulogy from a funeral. A speech or a piece of writing that praises someone or something highly that has died. A tribute, a compliment. The bad thing is it's a shame that we don't speak the blessing on people until they die. We speak the eulogy at their funeral that they don't get to hear, but that which is a blessing, a tribute, an honor, and we should be doing it while they're alive. We should be doing it to people we don't know. We should be speaking the blessing all the time as we go through life. There was this man I read about. His name was Marcus, and he was a house painter. He was a very good house painter. And someone had asked him, "How did you choose to be a house painter?" And he said his dad was a salesman who traveled most of the time, was only home on weekends. And when he came home, that was his time for telling Marcus all of his mistakes that he had made the previous week and his instructions for correcting them. It seemed like Marcus said that he never did anything that gained his father's approval. His harsh criticism wore heavy on Marcus most of the time. But one weekend, he had built a birdhouse and was finishing the paint job when his dad walked in. His dad looked at Marcus and glanced at the birdhouse and said, "Good paint job." His words of blessing and approval gave Marcus a level of confidence he'd never received from him before. This guided him to believing that he could paint houses for a living and getting paid for it. And so that's what he did. His whole life's work was based on that one blessing from his father. But that also shows you how that father was cursing that young man by speaking negatively of him all the time. There's great power released in blessing others. But our eyes get fixed on our circumstances to the point of losing sight of God's perspective and only seeing things from our perspective. The blessing speaks life into other people's spirits and into our spirit. The blessing is speaking or pronouncing God's intended favor upon them. Speaking blessing is giving agreement to what God sees as the potential in a life. Matthew 5 and 44 in the New King James, it says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." In the New Living, James 3 and 8 and 9 says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, And sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. Let me read that one again. We all need this. Sometimes it praises the tongue. It praises our Lord and Father. Sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. To curse is to speak evil of, to belittle, to wound, to pierce, to tear down, to speak anything contrary to God's will or intention over someone. Years ago, when we had first started pastoring, there was a young couple that had come to the church, and we went out to eat with them. And they hadn't been long married, and the entire meal that we were eating with them, the young man talked about all the faults of his newlywed wife. He aired everything that he thought she'd ever done wrong, everything possibly she had done wrong. In his perspective, everything that she did was wrong. And we sat there through this meal, and that's all that happened the whole meal, just continually. And at the end of the meal, we were wore out. And I mean, seriously, you know, all that negativity and stuff, you know, you try to change the subject on somebody and they're still doing it. And they're cursing is what they're doing. Now, we don't consider that as Christians. We don't consider it cursing. We consider four-letter words and other words, certain words are curse words. But that's not actually truth, not the full truth. The full truth is that if we're speaking evil or not the intention of God over somebody, or we're uncovering them by their faults, by speaking about their faults to others or in the presence of others, or I'm telling you, that's cursing. You may as well have said a curse word. Now, I know some of y'all, the only thing y'all heard today is pastor said, we may as well curse. We can curse now. That's the new thing. The new rule is we can curse. We're in God's kingdom, but we can curse. He said we could cuss up a storm if we wanted to. That is not what I said. I said we're cursing if we're speaking evil or we're speaking derogatory or ridiculing. They got divorced shortly after we went out. Why? Because of his words. He was cursing her. He was cursing his marriage. He was speaking death words and hateful words, hurtful words, toxic words that were wounding her deeply. Critical words, judgmental words, they are curse words and they destroy. They wound deeply. Speak life. Speak blessing. Another illustration, there was this lady that I read about. She had a lot of friction with her boss. And she was always in opposition to her boss, and she was critical of her boss around the fellow employees and stuff because her boss had overlooked her before for a raise and a promotion, a bonus. So a friend told her about speaking the blessing over others, even if you don't get along with them. The blessing works with people that you do know and people that you don't know and people that you get along with and people you don't get along with. So she started speaking the blessing over her boss. After a few days, he didn't know it. She was doing it in private. After a few days, she was called into the boss's office. And even if there was something being said negatively against him in the office, she wouldn't participate. She would back out of it. After a few days, she was called into the boss's office. She thought she was going to be fired for her being critical before. But to her amazement, he said, I need to apologize to you. Now, she'd been speaking the blessing over him for days. I need to apologize to you. I've held you back from raises that were due you. He continued, starting retroactive from last month, you will receive your raise and your promotion. She is now convinced that the blessing releases God's favor and cursing puts everything on pause. Speaking out loud a blessing on others. Hang on. Now I just said something some of y'all missed. See, because we think, well, I was speaking under the heart. I had a good thought about so-and-so, and I just had this good thought. That was a wonderful thought I just had about so-and-so. I just had a good thought about Monica. That's good that I had that thought, but you know I should verbalize that. You draw very well in this service. You do. You always do. You know, it should be verbalized. You understand, we think things that God is actually putting on our hearts, and we're not even recognizing it being God, and we say, oh, I'm not gushy like that. I just don't do that. Well, you're wrong. You don't line up with the Word of God. You'll say something bad about somebody in a minute. Whew. Oh, that was good. Oh, I was preaching. Y'all almost missed it. Hang on. It's easy to do that, but it's hard to say something good from the heart that's going to lift them. And, you know, it may affect your pride because you're saying something. You say, well, I can't. Yes, you can. Because God's putting it on you. It'll help them. It'll bless them. Speaking out loud a blessing on others releases God's power. Hang on. There's marriages that would be saved. There's marriages that would be restored if husbands and wives would speak the blessing out loud over their spouses and not keep it to themselves. It releases God's power to work in a person or a situation. The blessing is life-giving. Proverbs, I'm headed to a close. Not actually a close because we're tag-teaming. Proverbs 18 and 21 in the New King James says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So if you want bitter fruit, you say things that are bitter or death or harmful. But if you want life-giving fruit, you speak words that produce life, that lift, that help, that comfort, that strengthen, that notice the good in others, not the bad. Ephesians 5 and 25 and 26 in the New Living. For husbands, this means love your wives. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up His life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's Word. It is important to note how Jesus cleanses His bride. He did so by washing her with His Word. The power of His Word washes away the effects of all others. When a spouse, man or woman, is wounded by a coworker or a friend, there's nothing more powerful than the words of a blessing that come from a husband or wife. A husband or wife who blesses their spouse strengthens the cords of their marriage. Speak well of your spouse, to him and to her and to others. Never speak negatively about your spouse to other people. Thank you very much. That was a good preaching. You almost missed it. Bless your spouse out loud. Compliment them, praise them, comfort them. Speak well of your children. Bless your children. Don't curse your children. Speak well of your children to others. Children, speak well to your parents. The blessing is life-giving.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That was awesome, wasn't it? An awesome word. Praise God. And what I have to share this morning, it's just something short. And I titled it, and it's probably up there, Shred the Negative. Shred the Negative. So let's turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So God wants us to live the abundant life in every area of our life. Amen. And so it's saying to keep the word in front of you, and then you'll follow up, your character, your life will follow up with the Word of God. And then I want to read that also in the New Living Translation. And it says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So God wants us to prosper and succeed in life, and that's in every area of our lives. You know, God has created us to prosper. He's created us to be successful and to be filled with joy and peace. You know, a lot of us think prosperity is just money. But you know, how prosperous are we when we're full of the peace of God? when we are full of the joy of the Lord. Amen. And so He wants us, He wants us to have success in life. He wants us to have confidence. He wants us to be creative. And He wants us to flourish in life. Amen. He doesn't want us to have anything to hold us back. But He's created each and every person. Every person that He has created in the whole universe, He created them with the heart of them being a success in this life, have an abundant life. Amen. And so a lot of times, though, we allow the negative things that people have said about us to hinder God's highest and best for us. We have all been there, all experienced that, and have all had to work through those things. But we all need a spiritual shredder on the inside of us. Amen? We need to shred those negative words that people have spoken over us or against us. We need to put those negative words in the shredder. Amen? So that it doesn't stop or contaminate what God's plan for our lives is. Remember, His plan is that we have an abundant life in every area of our lives. Amen? Spirit, soul, and body. Praise God. And every day, we need to put those negative words in the shredder. Amen? Just shred them up. And you know, when we shred up the paper, then we just throw it out. We just get rid of it. We don't just hang it around. Well, let me see if I can put this piece back together so I can remember this horrible word spoken over me. We shred it. We shred it. We shred it every day. And we throw it away. We get rid of it. Amen? Don't hold on to those negative words. Praise God. And this is a daily thing. The longer you carry or hold on to those negative words on the inside of you, the longer you meditate on those words, the bigger they become.
That's right.
Amen. They do. They become bigger. And they become stronger. And the more that we carry those words on the inside of us, the more power we give to those words. Amen. Jesus has made us an overcomer. Amen. He knew from the beginning that people would come against you, that negative words would be spoken over you, that everything in life would not be rosy. Amen. But He said that you are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. You are a triumphant person this morning. Amen. Amen. So shred those negative words. Immediately. Do it immediately. Don't hold on to it. Because before you know it, it'll start out up here. But if you keep on meditating on it, it's going to go down in here. Amen? And so we need to shred those words. So how do we conquer the negative? Shred them, like I said, replace them. Replace those negative words with the Word of God.
Yes.
What does God say about you?
Yes.
Who does He say you are?
Yes.
Amen. What does He say belongs to you? Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to replace the negative with God's Word. Keep that Word in our hearts. Meditate on the Word of God so that that Word will become a part of you. And those negative words, what the enemy meant for evil, amen, God will turn those things around for good when we meditate on His Word. Praise God. Overcome. Replace those evil words with positive God words, amen. So let's turn to Psalms chapter 1. And this scripture is much like Joshua 1 and 8. Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord." And the speaking, His delight is in the Word of God. "And in His law doth He meditate day and night. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper." Amen. So God wants us to focus. Pastor talked about focus one time. He wants us to focus on the Word of God. Amen. Glory to God. He is a good God, isn't He? And He wants good things for His people. It's when we turn the negative words or the negative situation into a positive that we can become what God has called us to be. See, the enemy doesn't want us to live in the purpose and the calling of God in our lives. He brings all these things against us to try to keep us from walking in God's perfect will and calling for our lives. Amen. Amen. But He wants you to become all that He has called you to be. I heard Steve Harvey's, he's got a few things on YouTube that they titled Motivated. Now, you might not know who Steve Harvey is, but if you don't know who he is a host of several TV shows or games. He hosts the Little Big Shots. I love Little Big Shots. Amen. It's hilarious. He hosts Showtime at the Apollo, Family Feud, Celebrity Family Feud, and Miss Universe pageant. Now, Steve Harvey is a Christian, although his mouth has not lined up with the Word of God yet. Yet, let me say that. His vocabulary has not got there yet, but he's a work in progress, praise God. God's working on him, just like we all have areas. God's working on us, and we'll never arrive. Just when we think we have arrived, something will come up, and we'll fall back into the flesh. So that's what Patty was saying. When you fall, don't stay down. Get back up. Amen. Praise God. So here, Steve Harvey said that, let me just say this. Steve Harvey knows a lot of biblical principles that he has applied to his life. Amen? And it has caused him to overcome a lot of negative in his life. And so it's caused him to become a success. Amen? We can't deny he's successful, can we? And he gives God all the glory for it. He knows it was God that did it. So, He was given this little motivated thing about his life, and he said that he had a bad stuttering problem when he was a child. And when he was 10 years old, his teacher in class told the kids to write down on a piece of paper what they wanted to be when they grow up or what they wanted to do when they grow up. And so he wrote down on his paper that he wanted to be on TV. Now remember, he had a bad stuttering problem. And he grew up in the hood, whatever, you know, he grew up in not the best circumstances. Amen. And so he wrote down that he wanted to be on TV. So all the kids wrote down what they wanted to be, and then the teacher had them pass them to her, you know, so she's reading all the notes that the kids had written, what they wanted to be. And she read Steve Harvey's, and she called him up to the front. She said, come up here. And so he's thinking, well, I must have really done good on my paper. She's wanting to really talk about what I want to do when I grow up. He said, but it was just the opposite. She called him up there to humiliate him. And right in front of the class, and she started asking him, more or less, who do you think you are? And she said, why did you write something like that on your paper? And who in this school has ever been on TV? Who in your family has ever been on TV? Who in your neighborhood has ever been on TV? This is exactly what he said. And then she said, look at you standing there. You can't even talk. How are they going to put somebody like you on TV? So the teacher wrote a note to his parents, sent the note home with him. His father read the note. He said, well, what's wrong with him putting on this paper that he wants to be on TV if that's what he wants to do when he grows up? So his daddy asked him, he said, well, what did your teacher want you to put on the paper? And he said, I don't know, but probably something like a basketball player or something like that. He said, well, I'll tell you what to do. You write on that paper that you want to be a basketball player and you give it to your teacher. So he did. His daddy went on to say, though, he said, but I want you to do this. I want you to put that paper that says you want to be on TV in a drawer. And when you get up in the morning, every morning, I want you to get that piece of paper out and read it. Read it out loud. He said, and every night before you go to bed, I want you to get that piece of paper and read it out loud. Amen. So he did what his dad told him. And the awesome thing is that that little boy who stuttered, that little boy from the hood, that little boy that grew up in a bad situation did exactly what he wrote on his paper. Amen. He is now on TV 7 days a week. So I want to tell you this morning, doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what they say. It matters what God says about you. It matters what He says you are. It matters what He says you can do. It matters what He has called you to do. What He has called you to be. That's all that matters. So before I close this morning, I want to say, shred the negative words. Shred the negative words. And meditate. Get down on the inside of you what God's Word says about you. Amen? Hallelujah. Because you can rise above any negative word spoken against you. You can rise above that. Amen? And our God is a healer. Amen? He is a deliverer. He is a mighty God. He likes to take the most finite person that would think that they could never do anything, and He likes to make something beautiful out of it, something wonderful out of it. Amen. And that's what He wants to do for each and every one of His children, not leaving any of them out. That's what belongs to you this morning. Amen. And before I close, I just want to share something with you. You know, I heard a Christian couple on a Christian TV show recently, and they were counselors, Christian counselors, and they talked about emotional healing. Now, we all need emotional healing from something at one time in our life, or many times maybe, whatever it might be. And so some emotional wounds go deeper than others. But they were talking about how to get free from emotional wounds. And they said, number one, think of the event in your life that brings up the most negative emotion. And they said, for instance, shame. The emotion might be shame, it might be guilt, it might be anger. Whatever the emotion is, they said, identify the emotion when you think of that situation or that event. Then they said, ask Jesus to heal the wound in your soul. Then tell Jesus you receive His healing. And keep doing that. See, what happens so many times is we might do it once, and then the thought comes back up, and we think, well, I didn't get healed from it. I'm still a wounded person. But God's not through with you. Amen. He knows. He knows it might take, might be harder for you. Amen. He knows, and He knows, and He understands. So He's not going to condemn you. Amen. Keep doing that when you recall the until when keep doing that until when you recall the event or the incident, you no longer feel the negative emotion. Okay? And then they said, when healing manifests, you'll never feel those negative emotions again when you think of that event. Amen? Amen. God is good, isn't He? He knows exactly what we need. Amen. And I want to just say that I have typed out this emotional healing, and it's back there on the audio if anybody wants to get one. And just know that God's patient. He is patient with us. And this is something, you know, the enemy will try to tell you you can't get over. Believe me, we all struggle with that. We all struggle in those areas thinking we can't get over things. But we can't do it. Amen? It's like that song Patty sang this morning, the praise team, I Surrender. See, we have to surrender the wounds. We have to surrender the hurts, the pain. We have to surrender them to Him, not because He's angry with us for having these feelings, but because He is the one that will deliver us and heal us and help us and free us from these things. Amen? So I encourage you to get one of those papers and do what they have said. Amen? Because the Word works, doesn't it? Jesus is a healer this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. And Patty, if you will, as you come up and just play that song this morning, I Surrender. And I want to just open up the altar this morning for anyone who needs prayer. It might not be about what Pastor and I talked about this morning. It might be another need that you want prayer for. You might need a healing in your body. You might need direction in your life. It could be any number of things that you might need prayer for. I know we want to pray for Ashley this morning. She's having problems with kidney stones. So let's just we'll just open the altar, if you will. Just come up as you feel led. Pastor, I'll come down here and lay hands on you or agree with you in prayer this morning.